God willing, 2 months from now, on the second Sunday of October, Archbishop William Laurie will offer Holy Mass at 11 a.m. as we thank God for our 145th anniversary. We're founded in 1876, although when I came here in 2015, some parishioners voiced concern that we would not be open for long. I assure them I was not sent here to close the parish. And by the goodness of the Lord and the cooperation of parishioners, we're still here. And so we thank God for 145 years, not only for what he's done for the past 5 years, but what he's done since the parish has been founded. Most important activity that we have as a parish is the celebration of Sunday Holy Mass. It is the source and summit of the Christian life, the Second Vatican Council says. It's why we exist. We would not exist except for Jesus and his proclaiming his gospel and building his church. And reading from the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to St. John gives us the opportunity to reflect on the importance of Holy Mass, not only as a parish, but as disciples of Christ within his universal church. So that is why I'm preaching a homily series entitled Mass Movements, How Holy Mass Forms a Holy People. Our journey to this altar every Sunday gives us an indication about how we are approaching the journey of life towards the moment in which we will see God face to face and give an account of the stewardship of our lives. For our lives are a gift from God, and we must see the connection between the celebration of the sacred liturgy and the conduct of our sacred lives. Jesus performed the miracle of feeding a multitude from an initial intake of 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then he invited them to recognize that there is a hunger within the human condition that can only be satisfied by living in union with God. Jesus said in today's gospel reading, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. During this homily series, I have been looking at different parts of Holy Mass. We have gone through the introductory rites and the liturgy of the word, and now we're beginning the liturgy of the Eucharist. And in the gospel reading, when Jesus says, what I will give is my flesh for the life of the world, he's talking about the oblation of his life for our salvation. An oblation is a sacrificial offering to God. And through Christ, we are offering our lives to God, the Father in heaven, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. The liturgy of the Eucharist begins with the preparation of the altar and the gifts. Our financial offerings advance the work of the Lord in our parish and elsewhere. Therefore, it is an act of worship. When we're not having a pandemic, the bread and wine are brought up by representatives of the congregation to symbolize that we are joining our lives to Christ. Even in the short distance between the credence table and the altar, the same thing is happening. We are joining in with this one and eternal sacrifice of the Lord. After the priest thanks God for the bread and wine, the work of human hands, which will become the Eucharist, he extends this invitation to the congregation. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours, my oblation and your oblation, may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. As I said, the Eucharistic sacrifice participates in the one and eternal sacrifice of Christ. For our salvation, Christ endured his passion and death. For our salvation, he is exalted through his resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven. We must be very clear, the Catholic Church has never taught, ever, that Jesus is being sacrificed over and over again whenever Holy Mass is celebrated. The 10th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews says that Jesus, quote, offered one sacrifice for sins and took his seat forever at the right hand of God. Eternity does not have the measurement of time. However, that which is eternally present to God, the means by which our Lord Jesus Christ is saving us, is made present in this time and space. By the power of the Holy Spirit and the words of Christ offered by the priest or bishop, bread and wine are totally transformed into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. What appears to be bread and wine is now in actuality the body and blood, soul and divinity of Christ. And I can never emphasize this point enough. A belief in the church since Holy Thursday, the first Holy Thursday, because if we believe in the polls that have been taken over the past several years, a majority of Catholics in the United States who were polled did not know this teaching or rejected this teaching. When Jesus performed the miracle of the loaves and fish, the celebration of Passover was approaching. When Jesus instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist and entrusted it to his church, it was during a Passover meal. The Passover meal is a joyful remembrance about how God liberated his people from slavery in Egypt. However, the meal is not about reminiscing about the past. The Catechism of the Catholic Church describes it in this way. In the sense of sacred scripture, the memorial is not merely the recollection of past events, but the proclamation of the mighty works wrought by God for human beings. In the liturgical celebration of these events, they become, in a certain way, present and real. This is how Israel understands its liberation from Egypt. Every time Passover is celebrated, the Exodus events are made present to the memory of believers so that they may conform their lives to them. As I said last Sunday, in describing Liturgy of the Word, the Old Testament foreshadows what will happen in the New Testament. And the New Testament is the fulfillment of what we read in the Old. And the Passover of the Lord Jesus Christ from death into life is made present in this Eucharistic sacrifice. And we share in the Lord's Passover by accepting what he has revealed, living in union with him and his church. As I've said frequently, because it's basic to being a beloved child of God, a disciple of Christ, and a temple of the Holy Spirit. As a result of our baptism, life in Christ means that we are renouncing the invitation to sin and repenting of our actual sins because Jesus died for our sins. Life in Christ also includes resolving to glorify God in our thoughts, words, and actions, because the Lord Jesus Christ rose to the glory of God the Father. In the second reading, St. Paul wrote, "Live in love, as Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God." And before that, St. Paul gave practical ways of doing so. We must stop having any ill will towards others. How can those who are offering their lives to God in Christ do that? If we are beneficiaries of the kindness, compassion, and forgiveness of God. So our offering to God includes striving to be kind, compassionate, and forgiving of one another. In the bulletin, usually under the pastor's message, I provide a reflection on the Sunday gospel reading, in addition to a salient quote from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I consider the Bible and the Catechism to be the textbooks for Christian discipleship. You do not need a theology degree to read the Bible or the Catechism. And I included this quote in today's bulletin, which gives another example of the practical ways of offering our lives in union with Christ. Catechism states, prayers and apostolic undertakings, that's being engaged in the work of the Lord, such as in the parish, offering family and married life, daily work, relaxation of mind and body, if they are accomplished in the Spirit. Indeed, even the hardships of life, if patiently borne, all these become spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So when we come to Holy Mass, we have the intention of thanking God for offering himself wholly and unconditionally to us in love for our salvation. And while, of course, we are not all that we could be, we thank God that we are not what we used to be, and as we continue to grow in holiness, we offer to God a precious gift, the gift of our lives to the Lord. We bring our joys. We bring our thanksgiving for the many blessings we have received, most especially the blessing of salvation. We bring our struggles. We bring our sacrifices and unite that to the one eternal sacrifice, stating that we will strive to love God wholeheartedly, loving ourselves and others appropriately in every circumstance. And Jesus sustains us in word and sacrament, nourishing us through his holy body and blood to sustain us in this life and for eternity. Loving relationships are formed and fostered by intentional actions. Listen once again to the intentional action that the Lord Jesus Christ will make and has already made to the Father on our behalf. "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Through his one and eternal oblation, Jesus is forming us to be a holy people. And therefore, we unite ourselves to him, and at the end of the preparation of the altar and the gifts, we pray in response to the priest's invitation, "May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands, for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. And now, I invite those who are gathered here in the parish church and on the live stream to join me in professing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us then and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was in